Hey there, this is Seth Waters from Channel 9, coming to you from Building 16. I'm here with a special guest, Pranab Mohanty. How are you doing, buddy?
Hey, I'm fine. How are you?
So what do you do?
I'm a data scientist manager, and I'm a senior data scientist. I work a lot of problems on social media, and which is related to NLP. Mm-hmm. We do a lot of social media analysis related to our service and product. We identify all types of posts that are posted by developers or anyone who posts about our service.
Any social media?
Any social media. Stack Overflow, GitHub, Twitter, MSDN forums, any forum. Well, not all, as long as they have an API, which you can crawl and get it. Sometimes we crawl, sometimes we use their APIs. But the objective is to whoever is chatting about our product and services, we want to grab those and deeply analyze them and see what they're talking, what's their sentiment about, whether they're complaining about the product or they're praising about the product, they're requesting a feature. And that helps us analyzing, hey, how we are doing on the social media. Mm-hmm. That's where we are now.
So that's an interesting question, right? Because what you're effectively doing is there's like a huge fire hose of stuff coming out, and you want to know, what are people saying? I mean, yeah. But usually when I have a machine learning problem, I start out with the question. And what's the question that you're trying to answer?
So as you see, this is a big problem.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of different type of questions, like what is the topic? What are the features they're talking about? What sentiment it is attached to the post? But the one which is we are talking about today is the author. Who is that author? We want to understand the author. Or let's say me and you posted something versus our CEO or some company's CEO posted. So we want to differentiate that level. That, or just to speak in one line, how influential the author is. That's our problem.
I see. So the first thing is, and I've been told this, and I love how you phrase it. The first thing is, the real sharp question is, how influential is this person on social media?
Right.
So is there like a score?
Yes, so the way we wanted it to be, or the way we formulated it to be, let's assign a score from 0 to 1, 1 being the most influential person. If you take top 10 influential person in the Twitter or any social chatter, we want to categorize them. And the moment they talk about, we want to immediately have a alert system that, hey, look, this big guy is talking about our product service. Let's see what he's talking about. And then we'll have action defined according to that.
So that's a tough problem, right? Because it's 0 to 1, that's a lot of numbers, FYI. So how did you go about setting up the system? I'd love to see the architecture of the system, because there seems like there would be a hot path and a cold path. There seems like there's going to be certain kind of features that you're going to be working on. It seems like it's a supervised problem, but not really, because there's a regression aspect to it, if you think about it. But then there's also like a clustering aspect that I feel like. Why don't you walk us through the whole process of how you did this?
Sure. And you're absolutely right pointing out that the problem is tough, and it has a mix of both. Like, you cannot just go to a cluster, because then you will not able to associate it single value.
Yeah.
And if you cluster, they fall into group of people. Mm-hmm. And if you do a supervised learning, you need to have a level data. And for example, Twitter, nobody go and individually assign a number to each mm-hmm. person. That's what our problem is. If it is there, we could easily use it. Like for example, Stack Overflow. They may have a reputation score. But again, it's not from 0 to 1 scale.
No.
It's like the number of posts or the number of votes they get, their reputation score goes up.
And not only that, but you're going beyond just Stack Overflow into Twitter, maybe Facebook, maybe whatever, VK or something.
And the toughest part is, we have to normalize that score so that we can compare a Stack Overflow influencer versus a Twitter influencer.
I see.
You pick any two channel, and you have to normalize the score so that you can do apple-to-apple comparison. You just cannot have channel-wise. It's mm-hmm. all global score. So that's another aspect of it. How do you normalize that score? But again, let's go back and start from the beginning.
Right.
So let's see what we're trying to do. So
here you go. So the first question is, how influential are they, right?
Right. So the problem statement, I'll say, hey, how influential this author is.
And we want to score between 0 and 1.
Right. Okay. How influential the author of this post.
Okay.
Of a given post. Now, if we think about this, now, for the sake of discussion, let's take an example of Twitter.
Okay.
Every time I reference, because there are a lot of posts and a lot of these social media, they have different characters.
Sure.
And they have different trained, they are aimed for different, their audience is different. Mm-hmm. So just for discussion to simplify it, let's use this
Twitter.
Twitter. Okay. So I'll add that this post is Twitter.
Okay.
So then our discussion will be like, let's say someone, author A posts message or tweets, I'll say, yes. Let's say this is the message. Now, I want to associate a score like, hey, who is this author? How influential it is from 0 to 1 range? Okay. And 1 being highly influential people. So if this is my problem, then how am I going to solve it?
Yeah, I mean, it feels like there's a lot of board left, thank goodness, but it feels like there's a lot that needs to go into it. Like, what are your features? How do you cluster? If you do clustering, and how do you do regression after that? So let's see what you got.
So whoever is familiar with Twitter, and most people as a user, they just see the Twitter post. Mm-hmm. But behind that post, there are a lot of metadata associated with the Twitter.
Okay.
If you use Twitter API, you can go to blog, and we have associated all the...
Yeah, we'll make sure to put the link below.
Yeah. And we have described all the features that are associated with. And these features associated with the post, message, as well as the author. So the first thing we want to see what's available in terms of those Twitter features, or we call it metadata.
Okay.
So every time there is a post, if you use Twitter API, it also comes with a set of metadata. Mm-hmm. So some of the metadata I can mention, and it's available here. I'll say that I'll just quickly walk through, like, related to author, like if you ever post a Twitter message, it also comes with how many people are following you.
I see.
And then total number of listings, how many people favorite you, how many people retweet your message, and then who likes it. So these features keep changing, but there are certain metadata that remain same.
Sure.
And those are our key features. And from those features, we want to develop our model.
I see. So you're using the features that come, because I've used the API before. It comes with a tweet, and then there's like a message, and
right.
Then there's like a person. And so you're normalizing those all out to a flat structure.
Right. So you're absolutely right. We get one message. We analyze the message in one channel, or the tweet in one channel, and then we get author metadata. Okay. We extract those. Those features are available on that our posts. And so let's say there are like, and then once we get those metadata, we recompute certain features. For example, hey, if you just compute the followers, then there are our followings. There are like, you have to handle with these bots, in Twitter bots. They just go follow everyone.
I see.
And then you have to also take in account, since our posts are more towards technical oriented, our service oriented, we have to filter out all other posts, which are, we can say, not relevant. So we only consider the tweets or posts which are relevant to our service.
I see.
For example, if somebody, a highly skilled developer, is talking about Azure versus, let's say, a celebrity is talking about something else, and then these two are not in the same position. Because ours, for us, the developer who is talking about our product and they are using our product, that's more relevant than a celebrity.
So is this score reflecting that, or are you just removing those beforehand?
This score takes account of all that.
Okay.
So the problem is the beauty of this problem is that you can pick any Twitter handle and it will give you a score. Mm-hmm. But you can add, hey, I want the score to be tuned towards my service. I want the score to be Azure service.
Okay.
Or let's say I want this service to be SQL Server. Then this score could tune towards that particular people.
So you might have like Justin Bieber, who is super influential, but not in Azure. And the score will automatically
tune. Okay. Okay. So Justin Bieber will not be one if you put a tag that, hey, I want influential people on Azure's sort.
And that feels like it adds another level of complexity though, right? Because now you're looking at parameterized models.
True. And then there is one more aspect of it also, how active they are. Like there are someone who tweets every day, but he's not that influential. He's not a CEO of a company. But let's say there is a company X and the CEO say, hey, I love Azure new service. Then all of a sudden that's a highly influential. So we take an account of two factors here. Okay. One is how many times, how active they are.
Then the tag, right?
Right. So how active they are in terms of related to that particular service, mm-hmm. or related to. So again, I'll say that initially I thought how highly influential, or the question is how influential the author of a given post, and we can add one more related to a product or a service, or you can add any keyword here. So this is one more layer, you can customize it.
I see.
So you don't need to have a generic influencer. You can say, hey, I don't worried about all the people or the celebrity influencer or that.
Sure.
I just want to who are influencer for my product.
Got it.
Or my service. Then that's a fine tune you can add on top of it.
That's amazing. So how do we, now that we have these features, because we've listed them out and you can go look at them on the blog post, what are you building models? Are you using services?
So,
what's going on?
Yeah, so one, so there's three layers of it. Can I erase
this? Absolutely.
Okay, so there is three layers. One, you collect metadata from Twitter API. So once you have this metadata, you derive your features out of it.
Okay.
From here comes features. So how do we compute the features? For example, I can give you one example. Just by having a number of followers or number of following is not enough.
Right.
Because there may be cases where there will be, for example, if you are a big person, you may not follow a lot of people, but there are a lot of people following you.
Sure.
And whereas you consider the other aspect of other end of this, where you are a bot, you just programmatically follow everybody,
yeah.
But that doesn't mean that people follow you.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to take balance of those two. And then you may be active 2 years back, and now you give up, you don't use that
right.
product anymore. So we also have to have a top of it, have a time decay, or let's say time boost.
Sure.
Most recent active users are given a boost on this score. So the process we go, we collect our metadata from a Twitter API.
Now, are we getting like a lot of tweets from people? Are we getting a lot of users to do the training? How
Both.
Does that work?
Okay. Both. So we collect a lot of people, and then we filter throughout our, if there is a service product name there, we filter out that. So that means we filter out all the posts that is not related to this.
How do you filter that out? Just a keyword search?
There are keyword search hashtags.
Okay.
And then people who follow your product already. So
I see.
So
okay.
There are different ways to you can filter those posts.
Okay.
And once you have, which is we call relevant posts.
That's what you're training on.
Right. So once we get relevant post, we get author details from there.
I
so
see.
That author details is actually the metadata we are after.
So each model for each product and service is going to be different?
Different.
Okay.
So you can build it. The way this the blog talks about that, you can take this and tune it your product. You just provide your product name.
Got it.
And then if you have a metadata, you can pull, or hashtags you can define.
Cool.
And the model will automatically pull it out, filter, and train itself.
Awesome.
So once you have these author details, next step is that, hey, how do we translate this details or metadata into numerical features.
Right.
That's the key part of it. So I'm not going to go details about it, but for example, if somebody has a URL which related to Microsoft homepage or Microsoft product page, that has more emphasis. We translate to a binary feature. Does the tweet has URL or author has mentioned our homepage?
I see. Categorical
features. And then we also talk about the ratio between followers and following.
Okay.
Because that balance it out, normalize between your bot
sure.
and those people who have a lot of followers.
Absolutely,
so
yeah.
And so there are a lot of derived features we did. We compute from this metadata, we compute a lot of features, which is numerical features. So we translate them into numerical
features. Of course, because I mean, all the models use numbers. And
right.
so you got to
yeah.
take whatever is there and
right.
convert it into numbers. And so that's for sure. Okay.
Exactly. So now we have numerical features. And now we have author and numerical features.
Mm-hmm.
Now what we did is that we did a little bit of, through our iteration and through our discussion and brainstorming, we also separate them into two different paths. One is activity score, and then one is this influential or the influential score or reputation. So what do we talk about here? So at this point, when we have all the features, we compute two different score in different directions. One, we call it activity. Excuse me, my handwriting, it's a little bit.
My handwriting stinks too.
Activity score. And then we talk about
influencers.
We call it reputation.
Okay, reputation.
And then they combine together to call influencers.
Oh, that makes sense. So what you're doing is you're effectively separating an author into their activity and their reputation, and that is
combined to the influencer. Okay. Because the reason behind it, you may be very highly reputed, but if you're not very active for our product, that also, I don't want to give them a very high influencer score. Mm-hmm. The influencer score should be like, you are very active as well as you are very reputed. Mm-hmm. Now, there are people who are very dedicated to one of our services. Mm-hmm. And then they actively participate in all the discussion, and you'll be surprised, they suggest our features. They said, hey, maybe this type of features will help. So that also give us future direction. We can go to the PM team and say, hey, a lot of people are asking for this type of features.
Nice.
So these two, they are computed little differently, but they follow same pattern. What happened that in this activity score, you can clearly say activity is something where we have to do a time boost. Because someone who is active 2 years back is not getting the same score who is active very.
So how are you converting these numerical features into an activity score?
So these features, what we do is that when we look at these features, they fall into two parts that, hey, is it related to the activity or is it related to fear of reputation?
So you cut the features into
two buckets. Because anything that, and it's very simple.
Sure.
Anything that related to the post, number of posts, how many times he's posted on this, related to activity. Anything that related to, hey, following, followers, and how many times it's favorited, that all goes to the reputation.
I see.
They follow, there is a natural distinction between activity and reputation.
I see.
So let's talk about one activity, that how we did a time series. So time boost. What we did is that we apply a power function. So we divided this, let's say how many posts, number of posts. So we divided the number of posts into two buckets. One is last week, mm-hmm. and then last month, last quarter, last year, and everything else.
So those would be numbers. How many posts did they have last week? And so you should see it go like that, you would think, right?
Someone who is very active, it will be like that. Yep. There'll be, and then someone who is not very active will see a lot of posts here, but then it slowly slows down because they are no more active on this field. So, and then we wanted to give high weightage to last week's post versus last month, last quarter, last year.
Sure.
So what we do is that we apply a power series function. Like this, if you took about the bucket like this, so it's a growth function.
Uh-huh.
So one simple example is a power function. If you take, let's say, 2 to the power n, mm-hmm. that follows, and then we reverse it, 1 by 2 to the power n, or you can 2 to the power minus n, it follows like this.
Uh-huh.
So the time decay is basically, it's a different time decay function. What happened that the person who has lots of posts on last year, but less posts on the last week, last month, will get a lower weightage than if a person has lot of posts on last week, but he's.
I see. So you're effectively amplifying this out to make it even more. Okay. So you're taking this post and doing two to whatever, and then it's pushing it.
Yeah. The detail is on the post, but the idea is that hey, if you are active last week or last quarter, you should get more weightage than someone who is active year back.
That
makes sense.
Yeah, and it makes sense because like what's happening is this naturally, if you're looking at last week and you have 100 posts, and last month you're going to have 100 times 30.
Right.
And then last quarter you're going to have 100 times 90. And so what you want to do is you want to squash that down into something that looks a little more linear by assuming that it's the inverse power function kind of.
True. And there is other cases where that people who are very active, let's say last year, but somehow they are not active now.
Mm-hmm.
Then we want to give the more weightage to people who are actively involved right now at last week, last quarter, rather than people who are active year back.
And I think it's important to recognize that these numbers are going to get increasingly larger exponentially if they're really active.
Yeah, exactly.
And so what's going to happen is this is going to squash it so that if you're not active here, all of a sudden it's going to look really bad,
yes.
Even though it might look better at the tail end.
Exactly.
And that's what the power function will do.
Okay. That's the time boost function will do.
Smart.
And we'll also do the same thing for the reputation.
Okay.
The person who, again, the same thing. If you are reputed now, we want to give high weightage than the reputed year back.
So how do you get reputation over time, though? Because here it's pretty clear. I mean, how do you get reputation last week versus last month?
So That's a good question. So what we do is that we split these features with a time series. So we compute all the features up to last year. Then we don't look the posts or the features which are coming now.
Okay.
So we store all the historical data, and we assume that, let's say, what the person's score if we go back 6 months and compute the reputation score at 6 months before.
I see.
So if this is my current date, I go back 6 months back and compute the reputation here.
But how do you know how many followers they had there? Does it come with the metadata?
So we historically grab all the data store it in our DB.
That means,
and we also backfill, go back in the time and fill all the data historically. So that means we have like historical data of someone who is posted a year ago.
So you know the ratio of followers to following.
At that point.
At that point, and that's why this works again.
Right.
Got it.
Right.
Because hopefully you're having an increase.
Right.
And then
exactly.
You map it to a power function as well.
Exactly.
Okay, makes sense.
And in the sense that we are collecting right now, we have a snapshot at every day. So that means 6 months or a week after today, we'll also have another snapshot. That helps us to compute this type of time series. And it's very, from our experience, this is very useful.
Sure.
Because that gives us real-time reputation or the influence score.
I see.
So it's not that I computed once. We update our influence score for every day.
So this becomes four features. Yep. Plus whatever else you're adding in there, and you're mapping that to a score. Is this between 0 and 1 again?
So we normalize them together based on the service, based on how many people. So that is another part. That's a very good question.
Okay.
Again, you're bringing a lot of good questions
and
follow that discussion. So now the question is, this reputation score, they may not be in the same range. How do we use them across the author? Mm-hmm. So what we do a smart normalization here. The normalization is, given a product or service, we find out how many people are actively participating, or who are the influential, or who are the people who are actively involved in that,
mm-hmm.
and then we normalize across them. So if there is a guy, if a author A1 who has like, let's say, 5,000 posts,
mm-hmm.
and then A2 who has like 100 posts, then definitely there is a discrepancy here.
Sure.
And we want to normalize that. So we take a particular product or particular service and find out who are talking about that service. And then we do a normalization, removing the what's called long tail.
Because I see.
You see,
sure.
There are people who talks. If you look at the histogram, it will be like this. And there are a bunch of people here who just have one or two posts. Mm-hmm. So we don't want to bias our score towards this.
Right.
So we remove the long tail at using the 2 sigma.
Okay.
Standard deviation,
sure,
and
sure.
Then from this we normalize the score from between 0 to 1.
I see.
So basically everything is normalized with the top guy of that particular product.
I see. So when you get the reputation, which is a linear combination of these things,
Right. Then
what you do is
it's a multiple feature. Sorry to interrupt. Yeah. All the features go through this pipeline.
Right.
All the features. And
okay.
We have like 15, 20 features
okay.
listed there. So all the features go through, and then we do a, I'll go to the model a little bit more,
sure.
But it's a weighted average of all that.
Got
features.
It.
And then once they are normalized and go through the weighted average function, then we have to normalize them from 0 to 1.
Got it.
That normalization process I'm explaining now, if author 1 has a score of let's say score X, and author Y has a score X2, X1, X2, X3, X3, like that, then what we do is we take the top guy and normalize everyone, removing the long tails.
Got it.
So this guy, if he will always the 1,
mm-hmm.
and then the guy who has 1 or 2 posts will be 0, and everybody else will be normalized related to them.
I see. And then that gives you a score for this person.
Right, 0 to 1.
Oh.
And same thing goes here, 0 to 1. And now all the features are translated into has a value between 0 to 1, and they fall into either reputation bucket or activity bucket.
And so this feels like, I mean, this is like a weird unsupervised / supervised learning problem.
Right. Right now we have not used anything about supervised.
No.
Everything is unsupervised at this point.
It's like you're doing some kind of funky clustering. Effectively.
True. Right, right.
And then you're giving a score to everyone in the clusters.
Exactly.
Okay.
And then you almost got it there, right? It's exactly right to the point. We have it now. At this point, you can just cluster them.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, these set of people, seems like they are very active and highly reputed, so they may be influential, and these people, they may not be. But the problem we got is, hey, it's not enough just to say that, hey, here is 100 people who are influential. I want to rank them.
Uh-huh.
I want to associate a score.
Yeah.
You cannot just give me 100 people.
Sure.
That's our PM come back to us. No, I cannot take 100 people because I cannot contact 100 people.
Right.
I want to take them score. I want to sort them. I want to rank order of it. Mm-hmm. And so far, we have talked about completely unsupervised.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need any level or anything. But right now, we are moving to that.
Supervised, right? Because this is just giving, assigning numerical scores in two different areas.
Right. And now what we do is that we go into a term, if I can write something.
Yeah, like you have all the sorts of room over here.
So now we are going to have author one. He has a lot of these features, what we have computed mm-hmm. so far, both on activity bucket and the reputation bucket.
Mm-hmm.
But the part which is missing here is that, hey, if I have to rank as a human being, just by looking at his profile,
mm-hmm.
where you will rank among his peers or among his followers and everything. So again, it's very difficult to put a score here. I cannot say it's 0.9, but I can say he's fall into top 10, or let's say 90% of the 90 percentile. So we ask some people to judge a Twitter handle by saying that, hey, if I have a 5 different bucket, where you will put him?
And that becomes your label data set that for becomes, supervised
It's
learning.
Not exact label, but at least it's a semi-supervised level.
Yeah.
So it's a partial level. It doesn't give us a concrete score, but it gives us enough hint to build a regression model on top of it.
I see, because then you take the score 5 and you linearize the...
Right. Okay. So you have like a score, let's say he put him as a 5-star rating or 4, 3, 2, 1. And then we have a bunch of people who are in the 1, 2, 3, 4, and then we have their associated.
Got it.
And then we just build, either we can build a classifier, we tried with some classifier, and then take their probability as our confidence score.
I see.
Or we can just bucketize them. So the one which works well for us is that we just take this bucket and assign a score 5.0, 4.0, and fit a regression model on it.
And which is nice, right? Because then you can normalize to 0.1.
Yeah, and then somebody falls into 4.5, which is fine, which is what we want.
Yeah.
He's not 5, he's not 4, he's in between. So that's 4.5.
So what you're doing is effectively you're taking features that you have,
right.
You're creating additional features
right.
for activity score, reputation score. You're taking these people, you're asking to do some labeling in the data.
Partial labeling, not exact labeling,
right.
but at least some bucketizing of the authors.
And then you run a model over this.
Right.
And now how many people are they ranking your whole set? Because one of the things is like, my problem is I always had a hard time with counting, like with you know, like your set, is it a closed set initially?
So what happened, that's a good question again, thank you. What happened that a lot of these, when you build this model, a lot of these models are built for these program managers or salespersons who know who want to go and talk to these people. For example, if somebody just gave a very negative sentiment comment,
right.
he may not be aware of our incoming features.
Mm-hmm.
Or our new release has already addressed those. So these people want to engage with them. And then there are a lot of influential people where we want to build a community around them.
I see.
So that helps the PM, because then there is a community, developer community, who talks about this particular product, service, and they interact with themselves and exchanging the ideas related to our service.
I see.
So all these PM, program manager, and sales, they have a list of people and they already knew someone, hey, I know these guys. For example, Ninja team or our sales team has this, we have this MVP program.
Yeah, of course.
Right. We already know that, hey, these are our MVP people.
And you want to be able to, from that closed set, you can start to do this whole thing.
Right.
And because it's semi-supervised, you can add other people into it and they will also get a score
right.
based upon these models.
Exactly.
Makes sense. So you have a closed set to do the training.
Right.
And then, which is, I mean, how machine learning works in general.
Yeah,
So is this something that you're building inside of Azure ML? Is it something, how are you building this?
So, yes, it is on the Azure ML, and if you go to our Cortana Intelligence Gallery, all the entire experiment is on a Python notebook,
okay.
and you can just download and run it, and it runs on Azure.
Awesome. Well, can we take a look at that? I feel like we've got, is there anything else that I'm missing before we look at that?
No, and I think we have covered most of it, and then this model is, once we have this model, it just you can apply it to any person.
Yeah, I mean, because now it's prediction.
Yeah, now it's a prediction. All the weights are already calculated, and you just need a Twitter handle. Input is a Twitter handle, then output is a score. And if you provide a product name during training, product or service name, it's fine-tuned itself.
I see.
And then you have a product X, you know exactly who are talking about, who are the influential people of this this particular product, and you can go out and reach out to them to build a community around it.
Awesome. Well, let's see how it works.
Yep.
So what is this that we've got going on right here? Is this the actual template for building this whole thing?
Yes. So this is available on our Cortana Intelligence Gallery.
Okay.
And this is a Python notebook. Those who are familiar with Python notebook, they know that you can run the entire experiment within the browser.
Yeah.
And this is built on Azure ML.
Cool.
So whatever we discuss, this is, there is more description and feature description, all the things are here.
Love it.
So I'll just walk you through, and there is a special instruction how to download and how to run it.
Sure.
If you want to try it out. I'm skipping that, but I'm just going through the experiment process.
I found that you just open in Student and we'll do it.
Yeah, you need to have a subscription, and if you have a subscription already, you are signed in, then
perfect.
You just open
and you're just going to go to one that's already been done. Okay.
The part is that you need an, if you want to download the data from Twitter, you need one API keys.
Okay.
So that is the part we cannot provide here.
Sure.
So that you need to put it yourself. But
Absolutely. Just
to mention that Twitter provides a free dev account.
Mm-hmm.
So they have a key. It's limited, but you can use it for this experiment.
Got it. Perfect.
So again, the notebook title is Computing Influence Score for Twitter Users. But this is very generic. You can take this model and this template and apply to any other social media.
Awesome.
As long as they have one.
Perfect.
So the first part describes what do we mean by what is the purpose of this experiment. Why we need influential score. That's very obvious because you want to identify the author and what is its impact of that post on
sure.
social media. High influencer means high impact. So, and then how do we define influencer? That's the second part in the introduction, description of influencer. Why we want, what is the characteristics of an influencer? Recognized and acknowledged by fellow users.
And that's something that we've already talked about.
These four bulleted points here, that's basically explains why we are going after certain features and not others. So, for example, it's highly active in one or more forums with certain areas of expertise.
Sure.
That's necessary to have an influence score. And then the first part talks about how do we collect the data. On the data we talk about metadata. How do we go to Twitter? How do we connect to Twitter API and get all the metadata related to the post and author? So there is a... I just use there are many different API, but this is a free version available on GitHub, which is TwiPy. You can use this library to communicate with Twitter.
So you really are pulling all of this stuff using Python notebooks.
Right. Everything. Oh, this is completely embedded here.
Wow.
And Azure ML, you just need to have a key, and then you can run the entire experiment
sure.
here. So this is basically, and the good part is our Azure ML supports now installing third-party libraries.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, that's really cool. Earlier, it was not there. Now you can install it and run your notebook within your environment. So once we have this, this is where you place your key and then your secret. This is, you'll get it when you set up a dev account with Twitter.
Of course.
And once you have it, rest of the things will follow. This entire discussion is based on what type of feature we want. Based on those definition of influencer, we want all these features.
Sure.
For example, total followers, total following, total listed, total tweets by user, does it have a user URL, how many times it's mentioned by others, retweeted. So all these features we need. And then we compute rest of the things like retweet, H index, like H index. H index is something like, it's a derived feature.
Mm-hmm.
And it's explained on this piece of code. This is very, this is a very important feature.
Mm-hmm.
It's normalized all the features because if somebody has million followers and somebody has 500, but that 500 contains very influential people, then you need to normalize it.
Oh, I see. Of course.
So that is another one. And then this small function computes the one which we discussed, how it is compute social reputation, that based on followers count, following counts, status, and friends count.
I see.
So these are all derived features which are computing, all the
got
things
it.
We discussed.
Got it.
And retweeted by others, how many times it is retweeted.
Okay.
So, Once you have this, there are a lot of other features you can see. All these features, dictionary have all these.
And these are the features that are the derived features on top of what we're already getting.
What we are getting from the metadata, some of the metadata can be biased or like it's not normalized. It's very raw data. We want to normalize it.
Got it.
And this function talks about how do you get the, given a user ID or the Twitter handle, how do you get all the data and then compute all the features and save it. And now, so that's all about data collection and numerical translation of those features. Now the main part of discussed here, how do we get from the features to influence score?
Right.
And that's where we just saved all the data into Azure storage blob. This talk about how do we save all the data into Azure blob storage. Mm-hmm. And then here, you start computing. Just to plot function, to see some of the graphs and everything. And then the this is the part where I talk about that injecting a small closed set of people whom you want to
Are influencers. And you want to get a representative set that you can have ones and twos and threes and fours and fives.
Yeah. Or you can either that way or here we, for example, here we use something like 0 to 2000 where 5 falls into 1500 to 2000. You can put them as a like that. So the scoring is, you can put star rating, you can put number rating anyway, because the model will take it and translate into relative score.
Of course.
And then you develop your model. So this is where we you compute all the features, extract features for that particular Twitter user using the previous definitions modules once we got it. And then this is our regression model. Once we have the label data or feature extraction, now we are in a position where you can do a closed set regression model. And then we take that model and apply it to the world.
I see. So I've always found that these things are like a lot of thinking, and then when you get to the code, it's not that much.
No, it's a small pieces, and once you put it together, it's a one simple notebook, and then you can take it and run it. And here you can see all the weights related to that influencer. Status count gets sometimes, and symbols. Some of them are negative because they don't get much that much importance, and then some of them are highly impactful. For example, retweet H index is 0.3, close to 0.3. That says, hey, retweet is important. If people are retweeting, that means it's an important message, and which is intuitively true. Right?
So is this like a perceptron type of model? Because it looks like these are weights.
Yeah. So so it's a linear regression model. Yeah. So it's a, and then this talks about how do we do train and test sets. This is more like ML discussion here. We just split into 60-40 training and testing on those closed set, and want to see how our model is doing. And then we just for to play around, and people who are like data scientists, they want to see, hey, why did you choose this model? Why don't you choose the other model? Why you just use linear regression? Mm-hmm. Why don't you use Bayes model or elastic network? So here you can, I just, for the sake of completeness, I put a lot of different models and see which one does well. And sometimes you never know, because based on your data or whatever your level is, one model may do better than other. Here we provide everything to compare across all type of regression models that are available on Azure.
Did you find that the simpler model was always better?
True, that's always true. If you have a simpler model and your data has diversity, like you have some people from the set of one, set of two ratings, and three or four and five ratings, then linear regression works fine. So, and it's very simple, you can analyze it. And so that's the performances, so mean square error. If you look at it, linear regression and Bayes model are very similar. Ridge regression also works. So I pick the Bayes. Simple is the one which, if they are in the same ballpark number, you always put the pick the simplest one.
That's right, kids.
And that's where which is did the model selection. And once you have model selections, now the last part is the predicting influencer for any Twitter user. Now we have a model. We have our test set, trend set analysis. We know which one, which model works better. We pick a model. And last part talks about how do we give in any random Twitter user, how do you compute influential score.
Which is nice, because all you would have to do is you'd have to map to the new feature set, then you'd have to put it into a linear regression model, and then it will give you a number.
And here are some of the handles of our Azure, and we say how influential these handles. They are getting a score of 0.76, for example, Azure handle on Twitter. It's a very highly reputed handle, because a lot of people follow them, and there are a lot of developers associated with Azure.
And this is interesting for a number of reasons. Obviously, the everything has been super cool, but this is just an interesting way of using Azure ML that's not the draggy droppy thing.
No, this is very cool, and a lot of people write on the programmatic, like in the programmatic way, and people prefer Azure Notebook as well. Mm-hmm. Azure Notebook is very popular among all data scientists because, as you can see, it gives a complete solution within one browser.
And it's not just a complete solution, but it's one that you can follow.
Yeah, we can follow, you can download, run it on a local box, run it anywhere, and it's a simple model, but it's very impactful. I think it will be very useful. We are using it in many different ways.
Sure.
Because anytime somebody posts on Twitter and people are analyzing it, you want to know who is the author. Hey, who posts this? And then what's the reputation?
Of course.
And a lot of people using this to build a community. That's the goal of it.
Sure.
That you identify some people, and then you, along with there is another model on another one, sentiment analysis. You take the sentiment, you take the author influencer, and then you combine together, you have a analysis.
Well, this has been super awesome. Can we go to the website where the gallery, where the template is? Oh, you're at it right now, so make sure you go to that and download it. And then where can people go to find out more about the abilities of things that you can do on Azure ML?
We have, our gallery is a very good source. We have a lot of tutorials. Mm-hmm. And Azure ML help page is also there. On
awesome.
Azure. If you just go to portal.azure.com and search for all this, you'll find it. Gallery is a very good source.
Yeah, it really
we
is.
Have tons of experiment, and we are putting every day, we are adding more and more. So that's a good source too.
Awesome. Well, this has been awesome, my friend. Thanks so much for spending some time with us.
Thank you very much.
Thanks so much for watching. And we're Building 16, learning all about Twitter influencer scores and then also other social media. You can download this too as well. We'll put the link below so you can get to it. Thanks for watching. My name is Seth Juarez. This is Channel 9. We'll see you next time. Take care.